am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Is my plea daily walking close to thee? Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. To Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Oh, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be. Is old. Time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely on to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be. Sing that first verse. Oh, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Oh, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Close to thee, let it
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I see Brother John's ready to go, and let's just all stand, and let's sing 438. It's a little chorus. Amen. That's what we're here to do this morning, is bless the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His Jesus. I have one more prayer request here today from Sister Shelley. She has a friend whose mother, Rhonda, needs healing as she recovers from stem cell transplant for cancer in Virginia. So Shelley's friend would like to see his mother grow old. So how many's got a prayer request on your heart today? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne of mercy today. You told us to boldly come, Lord, not trusting in ourselves, not trusting in what we've done, but fully trusting in what you have done, in that finished work on Calvary. Lord, that is our confidence today. Lord, we're so grateful to know that there is a Savior, there is a healer, there is a God that created all things. And we come to you, Lord, and we ask for your mercy. We ask for your mercy on Rhonda, Shelly's friend's mother, and just bring healing and salvation, Lord, and all these different requests today that maybe we didn't read them out loud, Lord, but you see all things. You see what's beneath our hands. You see what's in our hearts, oh God. You see the choices that we need to make in life. And Lord, we just know that if we acknowledge you in all of our ways, you'll direct our paths. Bless the service today, Lord. May it not be normal or usual, but may you come as the unusual God. Move in our midst, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. Speak to us from your word, O God. Help us to get out of the way, each and every one of us. We commit ourselves to you now. Bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we could turn while we're standing to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I want to read a good portion of this, starting with verse 6. Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. What a statement. Amen. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Amen. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May be seated this morning. God bless you. Praise the Lord. My, the Bible is Wonderful. Don't you love the gospel?
Amen.
How wonderful is the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
You know, how thankful we should be. I was thinking about this. You know, our words really can't describe, our worship can't really repay in any way the attitude that we should have towards God for what He's done for us. For truly, He has provided a way of escape.
Amen.
From this world. You know, verse 19, where I'm going to focus the text today, is, "For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners."
Amen.
So by the obedience of one, the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
Amen.
By the obedience of who? By the obedience of the believers? By the obedience of the ministers? By the obedience of one. Obedience of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's worthy to be worshipped.
Amen.
We need to realize what the scripture is saying today. Amen. By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And you know, I just love, you know, when you read those scriptures, for when we were yet without strength. When we were not when we were strong, not when we were worthy. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
What a God.
Amen.
See, that's a Savior.
Amen. Thank you.
Not to save somebody that can save themselves, but to save somebody that could not save themselves.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the true gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, when I think about that, you know, we did not and we could not do anything to save ourselves. Do you realize that? You did not, you could not, and never did, never will be able to save yourself. So when we were lost without strength, God came down. A kinsman redeemer. Don't you love that?
Amen.
He was this great God, created everything, all knowledge, know the end from the beginning, and He condescended from His place, came down and took upon Himself the likeness of men, our kinsmen.
Amen.
And then willingly laid down His life, the perfect one, the spotless one,
amen,
so that we sinners could be saved.
Amen.
It never gets old to me.
Amen.
I heard an old story.
Amen.
How the Savior came from glory.
Amen.
Praise God. So, you know, sometimes we focus on the wrong things in life.
Amen.
Sometimes we think too much. We can never think enough about what He's did for us.
Amen.
We can never say enough. Romans 1 verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ."
Amen.
I'm not ashamed. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. See, what is it that we have to do? Do we have to work real hard? Do we have to accomplish some great feat? Do we have to die on the cross like He did? No, we need to believe.
Amen.
Remember Moses? When he had to smote the rock, and how important that was, that the life-giving water came from the rock to the people. Well, the next time they needed water, God said, "Speak to the rock." But Moses disobeyed, and he smote the rock out of frustration. And see, then that prevented him from going into the promised land. Because smoting that rock was pointing to Calvary.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
He was wounded for our transgressions.
Amen.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we were healed.
Amen.
That smiting of the rock was pointing to God smiting Christ on the cross, and that sacrifice happens once. and then no more. There are no more sacrifices for sin. There's no more great feats and achievements to pay for sin. After he did that once, now we speak of it.
Amen.
And that's all is required. We look back to it. We believe it. We embrace it.
Amen.
And we're grateful and we live a life of appreciation.
Amen.
I was driving in the car this morning with Maureen, and it just came on my mind about appreciation. I said, Maureen, what does appreciation look like? And I said, now, if we could picture somebody's face that has a face of appreciation, what does that look like? And she said, that's kind of hard, you know, I don't know. And I said, well, what if we allow it to be a little short little clip, you know, a little GIF or whatever they call it, just a little short little, I mean, is an angry face the face of appreciation? You know, is a giddy, jolly face, maybe, but something about appreciation makes me think you're sober, and appreciation is tied to being humble, right? There's something about it that when you appreciate, it creates a different attitude. I wish that all of us could live a life of appreciation.
Amen.
That we could be the kind of people that just appreciate what God has done for us.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
People that are so happy and satisfied with God. Right? We're not always bleeding and draining everybody else because we're not happy. People that are live a life of appreciation, they're happy people. Appreciate what God's done.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Do you appreciate God?
Amen.
I know we do. Sometimes we forget what He's done for us,
Amen.
But we need to remind ourselves what He's done for us. So that's why I love this gospel that we talk about. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith. Faith is powerful. So, it was not and never will be our actions that save us. Do you know that? I would say, everybody here would say, yes, I know that. But the thing is, it's not what we've done, but it's our faith in what He's done.
Amen.
It's our faith in what He's done that saves us. See, the just shall live by faith, not by works. Where did Israel fail? When they were going into the promised land, God gave them the promise. He said, the land is yours. Go and take it. They looked and they said, wow, the enemy's too great. We're like grasshoppers to them. They had all these reasons to doubt what God said. They relied on what they could see rather than what He said. He said, the land is yours. Take the land. You could take it. It's yours. See, so there's many things in the promises of God where God promises us something and we don't figure out how we're going to take it. We believe that God promised it to us that we can have it. Right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So Israel failed because they doubted the promise. They doubted the promise, and that kept them in from entering in the land. Hebrews 4, verse 1 says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached. It's really a promise.
Amen.
As well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
Amen.
See, faith cometh by hearing. See, but you need to believe the gospel. Embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what was sin? You know, we think of sin as cheating, stealing, murder, adultery, all these things, the actions people do. But really, sin is the unbelief behind all that. Unbelief. See, these other things are manifestations of they demonstrate that unbelief exists. See, that there's unbelief in there. So the sin is not so much the outside things, but it's the problem on the inside. And so the problem is people get so focused on the outside that many times they can miss the most important truth is that Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
And, we're born in a flesh nature.
Thank you.
Every man that, the parents were born, had sexual relations and the child is born, you have original sin in you because you are born of that way. You weren't born of a spoken word. You weren't created by the word of God. You were born of this sinful nature.
Amen.
So all of us have that. We're born with that. You know, we didn't have to earn it. We got it right from the start. So one of the key things that we need to know about the flesh man is he will always try to save himself. Always try to save himself. And sometimes that looks good, like what he's trying to do. He's trying to do good things. He's got some good actions. He's got some good efforts. See, but we can't save ourselves. That's how religion is formed. That's how man-made religion is formed. And really, today, one of the biggest problems in the world is man-made religion. You know, Amber was talking about being at work, and she gets a lot of comments about wearing a skirt as a nurse, because most nurses wear,
scrubs
or whatever. So she gets a lot of comments about that, and she has long hair. Amber hasn't cut her hair, and so
Amen.
Other Pentecostal groups that still believe in those things will comment. Hey, are you Pentecostal? Are you? What church do you go to? What do you believe? See, and unfortunately, now this is Amber talking after years of experience and knowing a lot of other nurses. And Amber is seen as a good worker. She's a good worker, which is a good thing. We need to be good workers,
Amen.
And so she has a good reputation amongst the nurses. So they'll come and talk to her. And one of the problems is that sometimes the worst people for the nurses to be around are the very religious people.
Amen.
So what happens, and we have to bear the reproach of that, some people that are very religious and they're trying so hard to do the right thing, but is that really Christ or is it some religious spirit? And all Christianity gets lumped into that. And Amber says, sometimes she feels, I really don't want to be associated with what these people are. That are so bold but where's Christ in it all? And then sometimes the very, very religious people give the hospital the hardest time. And they'll try and force the hospital to do all these man-made things instead of believing in the supernatural.
Amen.
They think, well, we don't want to let them die. You got to do this. There's a 96-year-old woman. We got to put a trach in her and all these crazy things. Instead, the nurses sincerely come to Amber and say, Amber, if these Christian people believe there's such a wonderful place beyond this life, why do they hold on to this life so dearly? And they won't let their loved ones go.
Amen. That's good.
Are we prolonging their life or prolonging their death?
Amen.
Now, listen, I believe in the supernatural God. And he can do anything. Because all things are possible if we only believe. But when you start to force human manipulation of things, that's when you're just bringing a reproach on the Christ. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
So, anyway, man's always trying to save himself. And not all that claim to be Israel are Israel.
Amen.
Not all claim to be Christians our Christ.
Amen.
Unfortunately, right? And sometimes the most religious in their outward expression, sometimes they are just bring more of a reproach on God than anything. We need Christ to be reflected in us. The love of God, you know, that peace of God, that quiet confidence that Christ must have had as he walked this earth. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm kind of somebody, I associate the word religious in a bad way. I know some people can say religious in a good way, you know. But for me, I grew up around the nuns and the priests and all the very religious people. And to me, I don't want nothing to do with that. I want something real. Amen. I want something genuine. I want the real Holy Ghost,
Amen.
The real life of Jesus Christ, something real, genuine, not something very, very religious and very carnal.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So our flesh nature is always trying to save itself. And the problem is that the flesh doesn't want to accept God's provided way. It kind of wants to do it its own way. It wants to save itself its own way. Not accept salvation based on what someone else did, but I want to do it. Like a little kid that can't open that door. He's 2 years old and there's this heavy door that's 50 times heavier than he's pushing on that door. And, well, let me open that door for you. No! I can do it myself! That's that flesh nature on being manifest. There's no way he could open that door. But we want to do it. We're born with that. We're born with that. And even if you're a Christian, you're going to have to fight against your flesh nature. Your flesh nature will manifest. So if we're not careful, we can always fall back into wanting and working to save ourselves. Now, I got some quotes of Brother Branham, and I haven't been using a lot of quotes, but I just want to quote him because I think he did such a good job highlighting this problem, how man's always trying to save himself. And just bear with me a little bit. Absorb what the truth of this really is that I believe. Abraham was the beginning of our faith. Is that right?
Amen.
All right, Abraham had the promise. God called Abraham because he was a great man, I guess? No, sir. He come down out of Babylon in the land of Chaldea and in the city of Ur, and God called him and made his covenant with him unconditionally. I'm going to save you, and not only you, Abraham, but your seed unconditionally. God made a covenant with man, and man breaks his covenant every time. Man never did keep his covenant with God. The law was never kept. They couldn't keep the law. Christ was come and broke the law himself. Because grace had already provided a Savior. Moses provided a way of escape, and then the people. After that, they still wanted something to do. Man's always trying to do something to save himself when you can't do it. It's his nature. It's that fallen nature in man. It's his nature. As soon as he found out he was naked in the Garden of Eden, he sewed some fig leaves together. Is that right? But he found out they wouldn't work. Nothing a man can do can save yourself. God saves you unconditionally all down through the age. And when you're saved, you're saved.
Amen.
I believe that. So let me just go to the next one here. Water from the rock. I think the greatest mistake of Israel ever made was in the 19th chapter of Exodus, where grace had already provided a Savior, had already provided a lamb, already provided deliverance, and then they said, let us do something, see? They know they wanted to do something. Man's always trying to find a way to save himself. Right here it is. That's his nature. Now, we're emphasizing something today. Sometimes you really just got to emphasize it to make a point. In the Garden of Eden, the man, as soon as he found out he was lost, he made himself religion, fig leaf apron put over him. You see why I think Eve was so beautiful? See why I don't think these things, these strains, that's the strain of man yet tonight, even after 6,000 years, man's still trying to cover his own sins by his own merits. Listen, brother, sister, that's not the people out there. That's us. This includes us.
Amen,
that flesh nature in us wants to save itself without God's provided way. All right, let's keep going. He'll quit eating meat. He'll keep all kinds of days. And oh, he will tear himself down. He will try everything he can do to save himself when it's so simple that even a fool couldn't fail to find it. That's right. The Bible said just simply, by grace you're saved through faith. He will try to mystify it, have all kinds of seeing lights and hearing sounds and everything and all kinds of mystifying things to get the people saved, people to be saved. Maybe someone did see it, but that don't mean that all has to see it. You just believe it. That there is. And God has his program, and he will set you and place you in Christ just where he thinks you'll work the best for him if you'll stay in your calling. Don't try to be somebody else's calling. Amen. Stay in your own calling. If you're a housewife, remain a housewife. Whatever God's called you to do, just remain there.
Amen.
He knows where to put his hand on you and use you. He had a little old woman named Hannah one time, a little housewife. He knew where to place her, what he was going to do with her. He had a one named Mary one time. Oh my, he will just do with you whatever he wants to do if you'll just let him do it. Just be humble. This is good advice. Submit yourself to him and walk on. Now the last one, there's only three of them, but I just had a hard time whittling it down. United Under One Head. He's preaching about United Under One Head, 1958. And it's very striking to see how that man wants to be one. The reason that he wants to be one is because that God designed him for that purpose. God designed him, made him to be one. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Made him to be one, to work together, to cooperate together. That's the makeup of man. That's the way man, God made him. But man always wants to have his idea about it. If that's not the truth, that's the truth.
Amen.
That's the flesh nature again. He wants to project something that God never intended him to do. He wants to figure his own ways out. He wants to make his own plan. He won't accept the plan that God made for him because it's his fallen nature. God told him in the Garden of Eden that the very minute that he even touched that tree, that trouble was in the road. But man taken from that tree and he become a scientific worker. And the very first bite that he took, he separated himself from his Savior or his Creator. And so it is tonight that man still lives by that tree. And there's no way in the world for a man to be saved by that tree. And why do we put so much emphasis on scientific research? How to save ourselves, to make a bomb that's better than Russia's, to make a plane that can fly faster, trying to save ourselves. Mm-hmm. Knowledge will never save you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big statement.
Amen.
I believe that.
Amen.
You know, this world's, they justify so many things in the name of science, trying to save ourselves. Why are they looking to Mars? Because this planet's not going to last. We got to go somewhere else. I mean, come on. Their knowledge is faulty. This is the plan. I tell you, I don't want to go to Mars. I want to stay here. Right? What's out at Mars? Death is out there. You're going to die. You're going to send somebody there to die. Knowledge will never save you. It'll take you farther away from God all the time.
Amen.
See, here's the challenge with people that actually are inherently smart. I've seen it. Why did God pick a Kentucky hillbilly to be a prophet? He didn't have any of that self-made, like lifted up in his knowledge because he didn't have it. So when you're gifted and you have a little bit of knowledge, that's not actually great all the time for you. Because what happens is you start to rely on that. You start to depend on that. You can get knowledge puffeth up. When we want to make progress with God, we got to go down. We got to get small. We got to get little in our own sight. But knowledge keeps us up here. We think we know something. Remember, when you get it all figured out, the only thing you really know is you're wrong. That know-it-all attitude is a disaster. when it comes to the things of God. Because you can't learn from anybody because you know everything. You ever around somebody like that? It's horrible. Right? Help us, Lord. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to realize, you know, I don't know anything. Paul said, I count everything I knew as dung that I may win Christ. Take everything you know, put it in the dung pile, say, Lord, help me to know you the way you want me to know you, by simple faith. Praise God. Let me continue here. I don't have my glasses today. That's why I'm squinting like crazy. I looked everywhere. Knowledge will never save you. It takes you farther away from God all the time. There's only one way of salvation. That's back to the tree of life. Knowledge even isn't in the picture. It's back to the tree of life. There was two trees. One was knowledge. The other was life. As long as man eat from the tree, he lived. And when he bit from that tree, he died. But you see, it's his nature trying to do something to save himself. There's not one thing you can do to save yourself. Man said to me one time, he said, oh, I sought God and I sought God. I listened to him a few minutes and said, sir, I don't want to disagree with you, but I have to. You never did seek God. You never did seek God. And no man never did. It isn't man seeking God, it's God seeking man. It wasn't. He says it wasn't. It wasn't God going down saying, Adam. It wasn't man going down through the garden saying, God, God, where are you? It was God calling Adam. God said in his word, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. Hallelujah. You're seeking to find what's drawing you. I like that. Amen. We're seeking to find that one that's pulling us. But it's God that has to draw, like the scripture said, how true it is. Hey, I know that's a lot of quotes, but just really good points. I think it anchors down. See, we have this in our nature. We want to save ourselves. Israel, you know, the greatest mistake, you know, Exodus 19. I remember Brother Branham said that. I went back to Exodus 19, and I'm like, I can't see it. Maybe it was Numbers 19. I'm like looking all over for this mistake. Go read Exodus 19. In Exodus 19, God basically offers a conditional covenant, and it looked like they should accept this, what God said. First of all, God said it, but they were already under an unconditional covenant. They were already under grace. Why should they accept the law? So sometimes we need to stand up in the face of legalistic ideas and say, wait a minute, we're saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
What are you trying to do? Put us under a conditional covenant again? If I do this, then God will be happy with me? Wait a minute. I'm going back to my father Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons. You know the song?
Amen.
He's the father of those that believe. I believe. Therefore, I'm justified. I'm not justified because of something I did. Something I will do, something I will become. I'm justified right now. I'm sanctified right now by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And therefore, I'm under an unconditional covenant, the same one that Abraham was under.
Amen.
I'm saved today by the grace of God.
Amen.
But wait a minute, John. What about works, you know? There's got to be works somewhere in all this. Listen, if it works is in it, then it ain't grace. Mm-hmm. Right? Because works is works and grace is grace. But our nature just grinds against that. Oh, it just can't be all grace. There's got to be works somewhere. There's got to be something I can do to save myself.
Mm-hmm.
No, you cannot save yourself.
Amen.
It's the grace of God trusting completely in what he did on that cross. That's why we're saved. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Now, see, you always feel that someone say, "Well, then people are going to do that, and they're going to go sin." Listen, when people want to sin; they're going to go sin anyway.
Right.
But the children of God need to know we're saved by grace.
Yes.
We're saved by grace.
Amen.
Through faith. People that want to go off and go contrary against the commandments of God, they're going to do it anyway. And they'll reap the benefits or punishment of that. They'll reap the results. Listen, do we reap what we sow? Do we believe that? We are going to reap what we sow. If we sow to our flesh, we'll reap of the flesh. I'll never forget what Billy Paul said, you know, because Billy Paul made some big mistakes in his life, right? He said, sin always takes you farther than you want to go. Keeps you longer than you wanted to stay. And costs you more than you wanted to pay. Think about that. If we would evaluate the costs, if we had a clear understanding up front what sin would do, we would stay away from it. We would obey God because obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better for us. Amen. We think we're doing God a favor by obeying Him. No, we're doing ourselves a favor.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Because the way of the transgressor is hard.
Amen.
Can't see it today. The devil paints this pretty picture. But he wants you to go down this path because he knows he gets you down there. It's a slippery slope. God keep us, Lord. Help us to be sober-minded. Help us to see properly. Make the right decisions. See? But we're not saved by our works. That's the truth. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. What man is he talking about? Adam. By one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're all sinners. We fall short of the glory of God. Because our flesh man, we're underneath Adam. And Adam sinned, and so that falls on us. That's why, you know, Jesus didn't come to condemn. We were already condemned. He came to save that which was already lost.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one. Whose righteousness? Ours? Jesus. By His obedience, by His righteousness, we're saved. We don't become righteous by what we do. We become righteous because of our faith in what He did. Can we see that? By one man sin entered, death upon all men. By one man's offense, death reigned. By the offense of one, judgment came upon all. But by the righteousness of one, and the free gift came upon all men unto justification by life.
Amen.
I'm so glad that Jesus set me free.
Amen.
I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Do you believe that?
Amen.
1 Timothy 1. This is a faithful saying, 1:15. And worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Amen.
Jesus came for the purpose of saving sinners.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
He did not come to condemn. The very heart of God didn't come to condemn and point fingers at everybody and say, I see you're wrong. I'm going to get you. No, He says, I see you need to be saved. I came to save you.
Hallelujah.
What a Savior.
Amen. Glory.
What a Savior.
Thank you, Lord.
We want to be like Jesus? Let's be like that. Not here to point out people's faults, but to help them, right? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Let me read this to you. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is the Father, right? Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. Why did he have to be called Jesus? Jesus means Savior.
Amen.
We all know that, right? Amen. Jesus means Savior, like Joshua and Jesus. You know, it's the same. Savior. Amen. See, Moses couldn't take him in the promised land. It had to be Joshua. Amen. It had to be grace to take him in to the promised land. Savior. A Savior is a person who saves. I think we all get that. Who saves, rescues, or delivers. He had to be named Jesus. What a lovely name. What a lovely name. The name of Jesus. Because that's what he was. And that's what he did. He came to save his people from their sins.
Amen.
He saves, he rescues, he delivers. You know, he wasn't like any other man that lived. He was a prophet, but he was more than a prophet.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
He was a man, but he was more than a man.
Hallelujah.
He was God.
Amen.
Manifested in flesh.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Was God manifested in flesh.
Glory.
Let me go back to Matthew again, 1:22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel.
Amen.
Which is being interpreted, God with us.
Amen.
Jesus. Let me give you a couple more scriptures. I don't know about you, but I like to talk about Jesus. Let me give you a scripture. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Who's he talking about? Jesus. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
The one true, the only God there is.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
The creator of the world. He condescended. All the Spirit of God was poured into Christ.
Amen.
He had the Spirit without measure.
Amen.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
Manifested in flesh.
Amen.
Acts chapter 20. I love this scripture. Put this to your memory. Memorize it. Acts chapter 20, verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now look at the comma there. Comma. Which he, who's he?
Jesus.
It's God, right?
Amen.
If you look at the grammar here, English teacher, correct me if I'm wrong. To feed the church of God, which he, right? It's going back to God, right? We got it. We got the approval of the English teacher. Which he hath purchased with his own blood.
Amen.
We are purchased with the blood of God.
Thank you, Lord. Glory.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Praise the
Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm saved by the blood of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The blood that was shed on Calvary was not human blood.
Amen.
I know they tracked the lineage through Mary and Joseph and all that, but that cell was created in her.
Amen.
And it was the blood of God.
Amen.
It wasn't the blood of Joseph. It was God's pure blood. Not Jewish blood, not Gentile blood, but divine blood.
Amen.
Pure, pure blood.
Hallelujah. Praise your holy name.
The spotless lamb.
Yes, sir.
Jesus, God in flesh. shed his blood so we could be saved. Oh, what a Savior. What a perfect sacrifice. Think of that, the spotless Lamb. Our salvation is not based on anything that we've done. It's based on what... It's not based on what we'll do. It's completely, solemnly based on our faith in what He has done. Amen. What He has done. You know, when Jesus was here, correct me if I'm wrong, He did not leave us instructions on how to be good enough to be saved. He did not give detailed specifications on how to earn your salvation. Some people act like He did. No. When He was here, I'm going to say it now, He paid it all.
Amen.
He paid it all.
Amen.
There is no more. I don't care. There's people around the message trying to put salvation attributes on the breaking of the seals. Do you realize what heresy that is? They're taking away from God's ultimate sacrifice. They wanted to take the car that Brother Branham crashed in and make it the next Calvary.
What?
That's absolutely right. Talk to Brother Green. I'm listening to Brother Green's sermons about the seventh seal. And I'm gonna preach about it when I get through it. There is such evil spirits around this message. Perverting the true gospel. Brother Green said, thank God I got the car. I wouldn't let them memorialize it. Evil spirits in the name of being supporters and defenders and promoters. They're perverters of the gospel. Look at all the institutionalized religion. The Pope stands there like he's a defender of the faith when he's against the true faith.
Amen.
All of the institutionalized religions stand there with all their big churches and their big money and their ceremonies and their music programs and their works. Where's God in all of it? Stinks in his nostrils. God help us to see. Let's hold on to Calvary. Let's hold on to the blood that was shed some 2,000 years ago. Let's hold on to Paul's gospel, for it's the only true gospel. It's the only true gospel. Jesus paid it all. And if anyone says you need to do this or that to get saved, they're wrong. They're wrong. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Oh, I love that man of Calvary, Galilee. For he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man of Galilee. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Isaiah, right? He was reading out of Isaiah. Oh, I love this. There's Jesus.
Amen.
He comes in, you know. He was already down there with John. The sacrifice was washed. The Spirit completely on him now, filled with all the fullness of God. He walks into that where he grew up. They didn't recognize him. They just said, "Ah, we know he was raised over here. You know, we know his brothers and sisters. You know, we know his father's a carpenter. He's a carpenter." He walks in. Oh, the carpenter's son. He comes walking in. He opens the book.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Amen.
And he closed the book, gave it to the minister, and sat down And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day. Don't you wish you were there? This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
Amen. Amen.
And they got mad at him.
Amen.
Why did they get mad at him? Because they didn't recognize him.
Amen.
He was God in the midst, and they didn't recognize him.
Amen.
They actually got angry. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill their God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's what I think of religious people. They claim to stand for God, but they kill their God. They kill their God. Oh, but I love to think about Jesus. Maybe they didn't want to hear it. Maybe today people still don't believe it. But as for me, I believe on that day, that scripture was fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled that scripture. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor.
Amen.
He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. And the recovering of sight to blind, to set at liberty them who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Listen, you could try and earn your own salvation, but he paid it all.
Amen.
He paid it all. See, you can't earn it. See, why would we bother trying to earn our salvation when he paid it all? Why would we do that? See? I'm so glad Jesus set us free.
Amen.
For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Jesus.
Amen.
By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. See, through Adam we're all made sinners. And we're all sentenced to death by the offense of Adam. And look what Adam did in his fallen condition. He sewed fig leaves together. And he tried to cover his sin. See, that's what man does. He makes a covering. He tries to hide. He tries to save himself. Fig leaf. Religion is what man does to cover his sins. Salvation is recognizing what Jesus already did to save us. He already did it. I don't have to do it. He did it. But man, religion, man-made religion, he does things to make himself feel better and to hide and cover his sins. Rejecting God's provided way of escape and making his own way of escape. I don't want religion. I want salvation.
Amen.
I want to be saved. I don't want to be religious. Jesus couldn't stand to be around the religious people. Amen. He didn't like them. If you're religious, he probably don't like you. But what he wants is to see a sinner recognize they're a sinner and that they need a Savior, and then they accept him as their Savior.
Amen.
To be very simple, right?
Amen.
He just wants us to accept his provided way. But the religious people were so self-righteous, they had all the rules and regulations, they felt they were better than everybody else, and they missed God's provided way of escape. Be careful when you think you're better than somebody else. That's religiousness.
Amen.
Why do people think they're better? Because of something they do that other people don't do. Right? If it rained, they drowned. Got their head in the air. That is not Christianity. That has nothing to do with Christianity. We're not saved by our obedience. Uh-oh. I know that just grinds people. The legalists, you know, they're just like, oh, get me out of here. We are not saved by our obedience. We're saved by his obedience. Amen. We're not righteous by what we do. We're righteous because of what He did for us. Amen. He is our righteousness. Amen. He is our holiness. He is our everything.
Amen. All in all. Amen. Hallelujah.
So, I know people don't like that, but it's true. We're not saved by our obedience. And now, am I saying that we don't need to be obedient? Not at all. Mm-mm. Not at all. Like I was saying earlier, you will reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, the Word of God says so. If you sow to your flesh, if you disobey God, and you rebel against the Word of God, and you sow to what the flesh man wants, you will reap of that.
That's true.
I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying you're going to reap what you sow. It doesn't make any logical sense to be disobedient to God. Because obedience to God makes our life better. Disobedience and rebellion against God, that only brings suffering to us.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not saying you don't need to be obedient, but what I'm saying, it's important how we think about it. Remember back in Gideon's day when they had 32,000, he says, "You got too many, lest Israel vaunt itself and say, 'My own hand has saved me.'" God cares what we think about it. He got it down to 300. He sent 31,700 home and said, "Now by these 300, I'll save you."
Amen.
Because then you realize, I saved you.
Amen.
Not you saved you. Right?
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen. Glory.
He saves us. So our obedience is not to save ourselves, but it's in appreciation of what He's done for us.
Amen.
It's with a revelation that my obedience to God is better for me.
Amen. That's right.
And my disobedience to the God that saved me grieves Him, and I don't want to grieve Him.
Amen.
See, that's different than, "I did this, I deserve that."
Mm-hmm.
No, He already gave me everything. He saved my soul. Why would I want to give a portion of my spirit, control of my spirit, to the devil? Listen, anybody that yields to a spirit of the devil, you're going to feel dirty. You're going to feel terrible.
Amen.
But when you yield to the Spirit of God, it's joy unspeakable.
Amen.
And full of glory.
Amen.
Jesus satisfies the hungry heart.
Amen.
He satisfies.
That's right. Amen.
So I'm not here to tell you, go off, kids, be disobedient. It doesn't matter. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying you don't need to labor under a legalistic, condemned attitude when He paid it all on Calvary.
Amen.
He paid
Amen.
It all. Praise God.
Amen.
We should be completely, Amen. Solemnly trusting
Amen.
In what Jesus did on Calvary Amen. For our salvation.
Amen.
Salvation's past. It's not something I actively have to achieve. He did it for me. I'm saved. How do you know you're saved? He paid it all.
Amen.
He paid it all. I'm trusting in what the Word of God said.
Amen.
Well, the Bible said you had to be born again. That's right. That's right. You have to be born again. How many babies went like this to be born? "I'm going to be born." Not one.
Mm-hmm.
That birth happens. Because the seed was there and the cycle started and they were born.
Amen.
And they come into this life and they don't know anything and they learn.
Amen.
You know, when you're born again, is there anything you did to be born again?
No.
Did you seek God? No, He sought you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Those that are born again, they recognize what happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Holy Spirit starts to teach them
Amen.
That happened. They read in the Bible, they say, "That happened to me." It's like on the road to Emmaus. That's why I have that picture in the back of the lobby. Because I remember the first time I saw that picture, I'm like, "I love this picture."
Amen.
All the trees and the two men walking with Jesus and they're like hanging on every word, right? The artist, he's, and they're hanging on every word, and Jesus is talking to them, and they didn't even know it was him until he got down to the city and he broke the bread in Emmaus. He disappeared. Did not our hearts burn within us as we walked along the way and he opened the scriptures to us? So to me, I love that picture because I could say, that happened to me. There was a voice speaking to me and I didn't even know it was the voice of God. Right? Something happened to me. I recognized I was born again. I didn't do anything to earn it. I was actually going way the wrong way, and one day he touched me.
Amen.
How can I brag about that? How can I feel like I've done anything? He did it all to me. I live a life of appreciation because I know I'd be lost. I would have lost everything if he didn't save me.
Amen.
Why did he save me? You know, in the beginning, that was a really hard one for me. I'm like, I'm no better than anybody else. I'm worse than most people. But this, if this is right, this means I'm special. And I'm not special. I had such a hard time with that. And I'm fighting it. And then you talk to other Christian people, they're like, wow, I can't believe you're going there in your head. Like, no, we're all sinners. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. We're all sinners.
Amen, bro.
Oh, I'm so glad one day he touched me.
Amen.
I'm so glad Jesus sets me free.
Amen.
Amen. You love the Lord. Let's all stand.
Amen.
Live a life of appreciation. By one man's disobedience, all were under death.
Amen.
And by one man's obedience, we all come to life. Amen. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord, I'm unworthy to stand here before your people. I should have been cast away, Lord. I look back at what I was, and Lord, I just say, oh God, why would you have anything to do with me, Lord? But I'm so grateful that I can look back and say with confidence, I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be, but thank you, Lord, I'm not what I used to be. Because one day you touched me. You changed me, Lord. I'm still learning, Lord. I'm still fighting the flesh, man. But Lord, I don't want to try and save myself, Lord. I want to solemnly rest on the finished work of Calvary. Help us, Lord. I pray that you lead this whole group of people into a life of obedience. But not trying to earn anything, but just an appreciation of what you've done. Help us, Lord God. I thank you for what you've done. Bless your people today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus paid it all. Number 211, I think, Sean. Do you believe Jesus paid it all? All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it. Jesus paid it all. and stand. He washed it white as snow. Since nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim, I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Oh, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe him. Oh, sin left crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. 372, Sean. 372. Praise God. You ask me why I'm happy.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
If you're happy, notify your face.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why.
Amen.
Now, do you really believe this? Because my sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone.
Hallelujah.
And when I meet the scoffer who asks me where they are, I'm gonna say my sins are gone. Where'd they go? There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, is from dawn in the sea of God. Good enough for me. Praise God, praise God, my sins are gone. Was at the old time altar where God came in my heart, and now, right now, my sins are gone. Oh, the Lord took full possession, the devil did depart. I'm so glad my sins are gone. Underneath the blood of Calvary, oh, as far removed as darkness from dawn is from dawn in the sea of God, forgetfulness. Praise God, my sins are gone. Oh, when Satan comes to tempt me and tries to make me, what are you gonna say? My sins are gone. You got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out. I'm glad. There underneath the blood. Hallelujah. As far removed as darkness is from dawn in the sea of God, forgetfulness. Praise God, praise God, my sins are gone. I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day. Why? Because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know it now. My sins are gone. There underneath the blood. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. As darkness is from dawn in the sea. Good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God.